And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the rise, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Let us pray. Holy Father, if we're going to know truly the meaning of Christmas, we must learn it from thy word. Grant it to be, Lord God, a blessing upon this meditation, that we might take it with us. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. The baby Jesus was appointed to a special task. It's often overlooked by the world's celebration of Christmas. 3 points I'd like to make. First, this baby was appointed to divide the human race, to the blessing of some, to the doom of others. Secondly, he was appointed to be a sign spoken against in order that the secret thoughts of all hearts be revealed. And finally, with Simeon, this baby proved to be a prince of peace, a prince of peace to this man facing eternity. And so first, this baby was appointed to divide the human race, to the blessing of some, to the doom of others. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it, for Christmas? But this is what the prophet Simeon said to his parents when the baby was being brought to the temple after his circumcision. Now, you just don't find this kind of theme in Christmas cards these days. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That word set, used here, that means to appoint. He was appointed for this task. And if he was appointed, then someone appointed him, God. The word denotes a purpose. That was the baby's appointed purpose by God. Christ's ministry while on earth was to the Jews, not the Gentiles. The Gentiles would come later, after his resurrection, when his ministry to the nations began. Then he would do much the same as he did with the Jews. His mission would continue to the nations through his Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, here he tells his disciples that he will give them another comforter. And in the original language, that word another means one who is like me. That's the Holy Spirit. Some people think the Holy Spirit today is a kind of impersonal force. But to show you how closely Christ identified himself with the Holy Spirit, he says immediately after this, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, who is he saying is going to come to them? He himself or his Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, both. If his Spirit is going to come to them, then according to him, he is going to come to them. And so, after his death and resurrection and through the Spirit, he continues his ministry not just to Israel now, but to the nations of the world, and dividing them into divisions, to the blessing of some, to the doom of others. It's a sobering thought to deal with here, but this is what Simeon said of this baby. A lot of people, when they hear the gospel, respond with neutrality, with no decision, or they respond with ambivalence. Well, maybe what you're saying is true, maybe it's not. Honestly, I really don't think much about religion. It's not my thing. But the baby's commission was to divide the human race into these destinies, including those who don't give it much thought. For example, Matthew 12:30. Here, as an adult, the baby said, He that is not with me is against me. And there are those who would respond with, well, I'm not against Jesus, I just don't give religion much thought. Christ said that those, by definition, are against him. You see this more clearly in the Gospels, in Israelite society back then, but just how his presence and his words created violent divisions. But in certain societies, including ours here today, this division can seem less clear-cut, at least to the human observer, due to a climate of tolerance that still exists in our country, even today on college campuses. But in the eyes of God, this division does exist. For example, Matthew 10:34. Listen to this. This is the words of Christ. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Foes over what? Over him, over who he is. This is not a popular theme for a box of Christmas cards. Probably wouldn't sell too well. So what then did the angels mean when they said what they said to the shepherds? Where it reads, "Suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." That's Luke chapter 2. Well, peace for some, as peace as God defines peace, as he makes peace. But the Prince of Peace does not bring peace indiscriminately to every human being, despite how people interpret your Christmas cards. It wasn't what this baby was commissioned to do, after all, and still isn't. Our second point is this: the baby was appointed to be a sign spoken against, in order that the secret thoughts of all hearts be revealed. This also is what Simeon said of this child, what he would do, when he said, "Behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." By sign he means something or someone conspicuous, someone unable to be ignored, glaringly evident. And according to Simeon, there was a purpose in this as well. Next verse tells us what? "That the thoughts," in other words, "so that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed." We saw this early on with Herod, King Herod. Herod hears of the birth of this king of the Jews from travelers outside of his country, from far away. Now, Herod's title is already King of the Jews. And now he hears of the birth of this rival, according to him. Luke chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So you see, the power structure of the city feels threatened by this baby. And Herod hears that these visitors from far away want to worship this king in Bethlehem. So he says to them that when they find him, that they're to send word to him. "When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Of course, he doesn't plan to worship him, does he? But he wanted them to think that, and that he does, and so he puts on this facade of false piety, but he has murder in his heart. So already this baby is fulfilling what he's been put on earth to do, and he's not even yet an adult. What was it about Christ that enraged so many people? Well, he himself tells us in John chapter 3. Here, Christ as an adult speaks of his ongoing commission. That is what he as a baby was put on earth to do. You know, Christians were put on earth to do much the same, to be a reproof to evil. They don't even have to try. In fact, we're told not to try to provoke evil. It's written in Scripture, "If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men." But just by being themselves, by being true to God. Have you ever met someone who instinctively does not like you? They may not even be able to put it into words, but the spirit that is within you is a rebuke to them. What is that? It happened with Jesus. He said, and this is the condemnation. Here he is speaking as an adult. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. See, Christ refers to himself as light coming into the world, and that's why his haters responded the way they did. And that may seem like a sad commentary on human nature, but that's because that's what it is. It is a sad commentary on human nature, because it's the natural estate of human nature that requires a savior from sin. But that was part of the baby's commission as well, as a sign spoken against to reveal the motives and the thoughts of the heart. Now, he wasn't spoken against by everybody, of course. Many were drawn to him because he is light. Christ is also called the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, it actually says that is his name, the Word of God. That's how John's gospel even begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's a statement that if we were speaking of something in creation, something in the created world, it would make no sense. How can you be something and be with something at the same time? But in discussing the triune God, in discussing the Trinity, it does make perfect sense. And then notice that John refers to that word as he, not it. Not something inanimate, but he. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. And here we have expressing something of what Simeon must have experienced when seeing this baby for the first time. We beheld his glory. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 that this Word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick here does not mean rapidly. It means alive, the way we speak, for instance, of a quickening spirit, or the way a woman pregnant would first feel the movements of a baby in her womb to tell her that there was life in her. It was called a quickening. And so Hebrews 4 tells us that this Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then it speaks of this Word as he. Neither is there any creature, that is created thing, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, is it talking about the written Word of God, or is it talking about Jesus? Well, it's true for both. It's true for both, but here it's talking about Christ. Not everyone likes the fact that Jesus sees everything about a person, even the embarrassing things, the unsavory things. John chapter 2 says that he knew all men. He knew what was in man. It says he did not trust them because of that. And some people will hate him for revealing to them who they really are. The scribes and the Pharisees did. They hated him. But others were drawn to him for that quality, that they might be made whole, that they might be made whole in who they are, that they might be made complete. And this, too, is why this baby came into the world. Our final point is this. With Simeon, the child proved to be a prince of peace. To this man, facing eternity. Now he's waiting in the temple, this old man waiting in the temple for what the scriptures call the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, that word is paraklesis. Perhaps you've heard the word paraclete. The word also is used of the Holy Spirit. Paraklesis literally means a calling to one's side. It refers to a consoler who comes along beside someone who ordinarily would be anxious or ordinarily would be fearful. The word comforter is an alternate translation. It's taken from exactly the same word. The word is used of the Holy Spirit. The word is also used of the long-awaited Messiah. Years before he came, it was used. There was an ancient Jewish custom, and that was if you wanted to be taken seriously, you swore by the consolation of Israel. By the consolation of Israel, I'm telling the truth. And by that, they meant the Messiah. They didn't know it was Jesus, and they weren't prepared for that kind of comforter. But now picture this. Simeon's waiting in the temple and was promised that he would not see death till he had first seen the consolation of Israel. And when he at last sees this baby, he then tells the Lord he's ready to die. That is to say, he would not be prepared to die unless the consolation, the comforter of Israel, came to him, came alongside of him to usher him into the next world. And this, according to Christ, is what the comforter is commissioned to do. The Jews were looking for a political deliverer to give them comfort from their situation with the Romans. They thought that the Romans were their main enemy. Simeon knew that not the Romans, but something else was. In fact, King David knew 1,000 years before. He knew that something else was his enemy. David, 1,000 years before Christ, describes this enemy in the 23rd Psalm. Elsewhere in Scripture, the enemy is described as the last enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This is the enemy that the consolation of Israel came to conquer. In the 23rd Psalm, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We don't have this baby with us now. We don't have Jesus with us physically now. But his spirit is with us, and according to the words of Christ, to have his spirit with us alongside of us is to have him with us alongside of us. Especially as with Simeon and David, especially in the hour of our passing. In John 14, Christ sees that the disciples are worried because he tells them and he's going to leave them. He tells them, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. One like me. And he calls him the Spirit of Truth. And then he tells them, though he's physically leaving them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then in John 14, he speaks of peace. Here he is speaking of peace, not generic peace, not Christmas card peace. A special peace for his chosen ones, his followers. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so, this is the peace that this child was commissioned to bring. And for those who look to him, he is indeed the Prince of Peace. And so, in conclusion, we've seen that this child was given this ministry for the fall and rising again of many. Amen. Hymn 170.